Oh God, I pray thee that you'll get that into every one of our hearts tonight. Get it into our bones. Get it into our mind. Get it into our thinking. God, I pray thee that you will really get it into us that you never fail.
weeks ago, I gave a testimony about how I've been praying that I would love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and how that had been really my heart's cry for the past couple weeks that I've been here and even before. And I testified that God had taken something out of my heart and delivered me of something that was in the way of my love towards God.
Praise God.
And the past couple weeks, it's crept its head, as it'll try to do. And I noticed tonight it was trying again, and I was just crying before God and crying, Lord, help me. And what I realized is inside of me, that love was jealous. It was God's love inside of me. It was jealous against that thing that was trying to get before me and God. And God was putting that love inside of me that I've been praying for. And I just want to thank God that that love's coming inside of me. And praise God, it's going to get more and more as I seek the Lord more.
Amen.
Jesus is just so good.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Your love in all of our hearts.
Amen.
And that you will do this for us in this meeting tonight, Lord, as we seek you. The Lord, you will fill our hearts.
Yes.
Spread that love, your love abroad in our hearts. Not only that we receive,
we
can give it back to you, Lord. That we can love you with the love wherewith you loved us,
yes,
Lord. Oh, Jesus, we do love you. And we do lift up our hearts to you, Lord. And we are expecting you to help us, Lord, and to lift us.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Salvation tonight. Thank him that God didn't think it was too much to send his own dear son for us to die.
Amen.
That he spared not his own son, that he would come down and die for our sins. I thank God that his saving power has worked to cleanse us from sin and draw us out from the pit of hell where we were bound. And he didn't leave us there, but God's so good that he didn't not only saved us and brought us out of the miry clay, but he wants to draw us right to his bosom. The goodness of God, how he just not only saved us, but it's his desire to bring us right unto his bosom.
Hallelujah.
I thank God for this.
Amen. His love is wonderful.
Churches, because they really have eternal truths that no matter how long they've been sung, they seem always fresh. New generations learn these songs and they love to sing them because they speak of Jesus Christ and the truth that's found in him. And I'm thankful that I've learned some of these songs. I sing them during the day. I drove up to camp by myself and sang myself all the way up practically. A great time. But while we sang Jesus Never Fails, I imagine that's a song that we'll probably sing in heaven when we get there. Maybe we'll change it a little bit and say Jesus Never Failed, because we'll have better understanding than we do right now. Yeah. Bible tells us that we see through a glass dim, darkly right now. But there's coming a day when we'll see him face to face as
Hallelujah.
He is. And I'm looking forward to that day.
Hallelujah.
And the days are getting brighter and brighter. Towards that day, we can expect that. And well, when we sang that song, I, just like you, something came in my mind, and then I said, well, yeah, well, what about that? Now, of course, I wasn't accusing the Lord at all, but just a natural man, sometimes you look at things in your life, or you look at things that have happened. I dealt with people, and maybe we prayed for somebody, and things didn't happen exactly the way they wanted it to, and then they would say, well, what about that? And then they would get so discouraged, and they'd leave the Lord, and they wouldn't pray the next time. Well, I was talking to a girl not too long ago, a young woman, and we were praying about something, she and others, and it didn't happen exactly the way they wanted it to happen, and so she was very discouraged and felt that Jesus had failed her. And if Jesus failed her once, then he might do it again. And of course, that's what gets into your system, that thought. If he did it once, it could happen again. And the first problem that you had was, I said, if your love and relationship with Jesus Christ depends upon whether everything goes your way or not, there's something drastically wrong with your relationship with him to begin with. Of course, we're committed to Jesus Christ, not because everything goes our way, and not because our prayers are answered exactly the way we want them to be answered all the time, but we're committed to him because we need a Savior. And it can't be any other way. And that needs to be settled first of all. And so I brought that to her attention and, of course, prayed with her about it. That if her serving Jesus Christ depends upon her getting some answer because of what has happened. Well, there's something wrong with her relationship. There's something that's been missing all along. And she needs to settle it with Jesus Christ, that she's going to serve him whether things go her way or not, or whether it seems like Jesus is doing everything right or not, that she needs a Savior. And I trust that that was some help to her. But I suppose that all of us can look at areas in our lives or things that have happened in the past and we wonder why. And maybe they seem like defeats to us. And so we question. And while we were singing that song, the thought came to me, but the end is not yet.
Amen.
And I think that that's something that we need to keep before us. The end isn't yet. We can't say. Now, of course, we have the truth and the word of God that Jesus never fails, and we ought to believe that with all our heart. I don't think that we ought to just take the attitude, well, I know this happened, and I know that happened, and I know you say this, and but I'm going to defend God, and I'm going to put out my jaw and say, well, Jesus never fails. Sometimes people deal with us that way. I don't care what happened in your life, Jesus never fails, and that's it. And they sort of walk away, you know, what more can they say? No, but there's an understanding behind it, I believe, that God wants us to have, and that's, first of all, that the end isn't yet. What looks like a failure to you may be an integral part of God's plan in your life, and in His getting His will done according to His purpose. We have that verse in Romans, and I believe God gave it to us in times like this, that verse that we all know by heart, no doubt, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and to those that are called according to His purpose. Well, that's something that we have to believe. That's something that we have to take by faith. It seems like one of the greatest sins and the greatest hindrances to God's will being done is the unbelief of God's people. And Hebrews tells us that that's the sin that doth so easily beset us, no doubt. That sin of unbelief. And our attention is brought to the Israelites and how they didn't understand certain things that happened. They got to a place and they thought God had brought them to the wilderness to die. Well, they shouldn't have made such a quick judgment. The end was not yet. They had just begun. They should have believed God. And we see that God did not bring them there to die, but that He brought them there to learn something and to prove Himself to them and to cause them to profit, and then He led them on. And then they came to something else, and they thought that God had brought them there to die of thirst. And again, that wasn't what God brought them there for. And if they would have just continued to believe God, God would have been able to work with greater liberty in their midst and bless them more wonderfully. And right at the end, when they got up to the promised land, well, God had brought them there, but they weren't going to get in because the giants were so great. And there again, there were some people that said, well, God had promised, and God brought us through every other trial and every other impossible situation. And if He said it, He's going to do it in this one too. Let's believe Him. And it was faith that was the victory, and it was unbelief that was the defeat. And it wasn't that God had failed them, but it was that they failed God. They failed to believe Him right to the end. And so all things do work together for good. Right now we're in a process of things working together. We don't understand exactly how things are working together, maybe. Maybe with our natural mind it's far beyond us, and we can't understand how that can work together for good. Well, it's got to work together. There's something else coming up, no doubt, that's going to turn the situation around if we'll believe God for our good and for His glory. And I'm sure that every one of us here can say that we've seen that happen, and we've marveled. There's a song that I like to sing. The song is called He Will Keep. And there's one verse that says that He has never sought in vain. He who turns all loss to gain, He will keep. You know, sometimes we suffer loss, and sometimes we fall, and sometimes we're disappointed. But we need to have that attitude. Now, Lord, You promised to work this thing together for good. And I've got to have that attitude if I'm going to go forward. And You need me to have that attitude if You're going to be able to do it. And so we say, Jesus, the end is not yet. I'm still alive. And there's still time before me. And I'm going to believe You to turn this thing around for Your glory. And sometimes it doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes it may take many years. But we just need to continue on with that attitude. And Jesus, you're going to work it together for good.
Amen.
And he'll work it together for good to those that love God. We've heard about loving God. And we know that the Bible speaks about loving God as more than just a wonderful emotion and affection. But loving God is really synonymous with keeping his commandments. Things work together for good to those that keep the commandments of God. To those that are serious about the things of God. To those that obey the Lord. Make an effort to. I'm not saying that you have to be totally perfect, no mistakes, and that's your only time when something's going to work together for good. But we need to be giving ourselves. When we see a mistake, we need to put it under the blood. We need to be dealing with things in our lives. And we need to be always with that attitude, Jesus, I want to obey you today. I want to please you in everything. And forget about yesterday. Today is a new day. Today is a new opportunity. Your mercies are new today that I can please you. And then it's to those that are called according to his purpose. You know, God's purpose over our lives is often so different than our purpose over our lives, or what we think God's purpose is over our lives. And sometimes things that happen in our lives don't fit into our understanding and into our purpose. And sometimes these things disrupt our purpose and our plans, even our spiritual plans. And sometimes God has to let that happen to begin to reveal to us his purpose, to begin to reveal to us his will. And so the thought there is that if things work together for good to those that obey and to those that are surrendered to God, that are given to, wholly given to him, Lord, not my purpose and not my will, but your will. I've been in situations where I felt I knew what the Lord wanted, and then something happened that was so contrary. And of course, your first reaction is, well, that's the devil coming against the will of God. We have to stand. And so you stand. But the thing stands too. And then if you have any good sense, you say, well, maybe it isn't the devil. Maybe God's trying to tell me something. Maybe he's got some different light for me. Maybe what I think is God's will, he wants to just make some adjustment there. And so you just honestly say, now, Jesus, what is this? Is this your hand? Is this you trying to get something to me? Are you trying to get new light to me? And I suppose we've all experienced times when we've discovered that that wasn't the devil, that was God. What an awesome thing to discover. Frightening sometimes. That's why we need to be a little bit slow to wrath. The Bible says, slow to speak and quick to hear. To hear what God has to say to us in these situations. I've been around many people that they've got the devil pegged and they've got God pegged. And they can identify them real good. But sometimes it's frightening because I think that they think that God is the devil and vice versa. And maybe we're guilty of that sometimes. We need to be careful. But I remember one time where I said, now, Lord, what's going on here? I've been pursuing the light that I felt you gave me, and I've been trying to do the best I can. But really, as I'm believing you, this thing isn't moving. What's going on? And the Lord began to make some adjustment in my understanding. And those very things that happened was the greatest blessing in my life because they helped me to find out God's purpose so that I could yield more to it and give myself more to it. And so to sing Jesus Never Fails is a wonderful song. And you can sing it very confidently. But with this understanding that the end is not yet and he's working all things together for his good. And yes, even your very mistakes, even if the devil himself does something, our God is big enough.
Amen.
To trust him to turn around for the good of his children because he loves us that way. I was talking with someone not too long ago, and they said that verse in Romans, all things work together for good, doesn't mean all things. Hmm. It means all the good things that God gives us, all the angels, all the blessings, all the promises. But the things that the devil does, that doesn't work together for your good. They're unfruitful works of darkness. I said, come on, God's bigger than that. He really is. He's reigning over the whole earth.
Amen.
And we need to believe that. Even if we don't see it right now, we need to believe it because it's true. And because it's going to be proven to those that will believe it. And we're going to see it. And so I'm so thankful that no matter what situation comes in my life, no matter what happens, no matter what mistakes, God help us for making mistakes, but if we do, that we never need to be defeated. We never need to accuse Jesus of failing. But we can say, Jesus, okay, I'm sorry this happened, but the end is not yet. I'm going to believe you to the end. The Apostle Paul had that attitude. Others did. they just believed God to the end. I heard about a man that was very sick in bed, and he said that the devil actually came to his room and was laughing at him. He said, "You're going to die. God's not going to heal you. He's not going to come through this time." And with every little bit of strength he had in him, he looked at the devil and he said, "I ain't dead yet." In other words, as long as he had life, he was going to believe God.
Amen.
As he believed, God worked wonderful miracles. I don't understand all that's happened in my life, and I'm sure you don't understand all that's happened in yours. And that's scriptural, so you're on good ground. But we need to believe God. And maybe when we have a lot of things happen in our lives that we don't understand, maybe we need to believe God more than we've ever believed Him before. And one day we'll see, we'll look back, and we'll say, "Jesus, all things did work together for good, to the glory of God. Jesus, You never failed." And then we'll have something to really rejoice about throughout all the ages of eternity. May the Lord help us.
Yes.
Thank You, God.
Yeah.
Thank You, Jesus. Thank You.
Thank You, Jesus. Wonderful.
I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We may boldly say that. Gee. Lord. We ought to pray tonight for a brother who is with us, our brother Walker. Now, he has went through quite a harrowing experience a while ago that affected him very greatly. And he is having trouble with his speech, his voice, and he has asked that we pray for him. Now, let's look to God that God will undertake over this man and undertake over this condition and absolutely heal this man. Now we ought to just believe that absolutely. Pray. Don't say, "Oh, well, maybe," and hope he'll get a little better, and perhaps, and you know, all this stuff. God wants us to take our stand and say, "Of course, of course. Thank You, Lord. We praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus.
Lord,
Jesus, precious name.
Himself before his people and shall work wondrous miracles beyond what the people deserve and what they are asking for. It is his presence that shall be manifest in the people of his people, and he shall lead the people according to his way, according to what he desires in their hearts, and according to what is in his purpose. It is his purpose to serve his people according to his divine will, and he shall lead them, that he may lead them to strengthen the people of the nation, that they may come to know him and to know him in his pride, that he might know to him as he is, as he shall be, and as he shall work in this world.
Glory, glory, glory. Let us look to God in behalf of this coming weekend. I'd like to announce that beginning tomorrow afternoon at 4:30, we will be having special prayer for the weekend. We'll have that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Now, maybe you're not going to be here this weekend. Well, maybe the Lord would like you to pray for us. We'll meet in this room. And of those staff members who are not on duty, we naturally expect that you will be present. And God will manifest himself and come to you also. Oh, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. But let's look to God right now for this coming weekend. That God will manifest himself in power and in glory and victory. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Let there be two or three or four who lead out in prayer for the who ought to believe God, that God will bless our brother Edwin. He'll be joining us for that weekend. And I don't know who all else, as far as ministers are concerned, but that what difference does that make? The Lord's going to be here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's believe God. Believe God that God will prepare the hearts of people as they are planning and contemplating to come, that God will protect them as they drive. God will manifest himself very greatly. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Dear Lord Jesus, we want you to win a great victory for your kingdom.
Yes, Lord.
Yes. In every heart, in every meeting. We want something really final and great done for your kingdom during this whole weekend.
Yes, Lord. Thy kingdom come.
Yes.
Thy will be done in pilgrim camps as it is done in heaven.
Almighty Father, we ask for thy presence in our hearts, that thy message may come forth to the people who are this coming weekend, Almighty God. That thy message may enter into their hearts, that they may go home, O Lord. And bring forth thy message to those who we are coming in contact with, O Lord. That they may come to know thee in a greater way, that thy blessing may be upon them, Almighty Father. We pray, O Lord, that thou would bless them, O Lord, and lead them and guide them in all the things they say and do, O Lord. That their lives may be consecrated with thee. We ask these things in thy heavenly name.
And as we have prayed already, dear Jesus, applaud a real seeking spirit upon everyone that will come up.
Amen.
That everyone that will come this weekend, dear Jesus, and that they will really seek you with their whole heart. Jesus, we just pray that your perfect will shall be done these days in the meeting, out of meeting, Lord, and that everyone shall really receive the portion you have for them.
Yes, Lord.
Lord Jesus, open our eyes of faith to the great things that you have prepared for us over this weekend and these coming
days. Amen.
Lord Jesus, help us to prepare for this and not to be slack concerning your promises.
Yes.
Yes.
We thank you, dear Father, that you have a plan for this weekend, and you have a plan for each person who will be attending these prayer times, Lord. We thank you that we can commit all to thee and trust thee, Lord, to come forth according to thy will, according to that plan that is in thy mind, O God, to execute. And we pray that we shall be willing in the day of thy power, not have our own opinions about what should be done, but we pray that we shall be abandoned to thee and trusting thee to have thy perfect way in Jesus' precious name. Let thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in our midst, as it is done in heaven, we pray, for thy glory.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Jesus, we believe you. We believe you. We believe you.
Dear Lord, we pray that you bless our brother Edwin as well at this time, Lord, as he seeks you and sits before your presence to know your will. Dear God, we pray that you might reveal the knowledge of your will to him at this time in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, Lord. You know what you desire to do at this time for him and by him for us, Lord. We pray, dear God, that you might work mightily and manifest yourself to him and through him and come to us all together, Lord, as he ministers to us. We pray that you sharpen our spiritual ears, Lord, that we might be in tune with you, Lord. Yes. As we seek you here at camp, Lord, we pray that our hearts might be open and
receptive
to you, Lord, that we might be sensitive to your presence and to all that you want to do, dear Jesus. Help us to be ready for you, Lord, to prepare our hearts and for you to minister to each and every one of us, Lord, according to our needs, Lord. You have a plan, you have a purpose, and we pray that your kingdom might come in a very definite way to each and every one of us, Lord, and that you might establish us in the perfect will of God at this time, for we ask it in Jesus' name.
We thank you, dear Lord, for the many people who have prayed Jesus to come up, and we ask for Journey's mercy, that everybody shall arrive safely. We thank you,
yes, Father.
Bless them already tonight very greatly. Strengthen and quicken them. Some come tired from work and need some time to get ready to open up. But, oh God, we thank you for the Holy Ghost who can make the adjustments which are needed, that everybody shall have an open ear and an open heart to hear and to understand and to receive from you. We really expect great things from you. We shall not be disappointed, because you do always more than we desire and understand, and we thank you for that.
Thank you. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you will protect every car that will journey this
way. Amen.
We pray that your great hand of intervention and of guidance shall be upon every vehicle, everyone that's traveling, Lord. We pray that you'll bring everyone here safely, oh God. Let there be no difficulties, Lord, or tragedies. We do commit each one to you.
Yes.
And we believe, oh God, that even tonight, Lord, you begin to work in these hearts and to draw them and to prepare them and give them a seeking spirit and faith to receive all that you'd like to do when they come. For Christ's sake, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Yes, Lord.
Glory, glory, glory.
Pour out your spirit upon us. About a third of those who will be coming are Chinese. Quite a number from Maryland and Washington, D.C. area. A number from New Haven, Connecticut. We thank God for every one of them. Quite a number are coming in yet from Buffalo. Some are here already. Thank God for that group. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
So they come from the east and the west. They come from virtually the lands afar. Quite a number are coming from Virginia. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. And dear Father, we pray thee very specially for those who are in this meeting who will not be here over the weekend. We pray, O God, for staff members who will be leaving us this weekend, or this week, before the weekend. Those who have served thee so faithfully, some of them all summer long. We pray thy blessing upon them very greatly, O God. Bless, O God, every one of these staff members. Bless, O God, the guests, some of whom would like to have been able to stay over the weekend, but there was no room. Oh God, bless them. Come to them. And let them get a very rich portion this week. God, we look to thee that they shall get what you have brought them here for. Oh God, this is your purpose and your plan, and you have brought them here, oh God. And oh God, even though they may not be able to participate in the weekend, we're believing that your blessing, your victory, shall be given to them, and what you wanted them to get, at this time they shall get. And don't let them, O God, fail to get what you want them to get because they're so mournful that they couldn't stay over the weekend. Oh God, we pray thee that you will bless them abundantly for your great glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah.
I'm thankful that there are certain things that we do know the Lord wants to do for us, and I'm thankful for those things also tonight. Thankful that this day the Lord has been encouraging us to faith. All throughout this day, this morning,
Amen.
We heard about how Caleb, at the age of 85, went up and possessed the land and received a marvelous victory, and I was impressed with what Brother Gardner said about Hebron, that it means communion. I was reminded of the book of Hebrews, where it talks about by faith we enter in to that promised land, that rest. And I thought, well, there it is, isn't it? There's a New Testament counterpart to that Old Testament example. We enter into our rest, or perhaps we could say our communion of faith, through faith in Jesus Christ, in believing Him. And I'm believing that God wants to help us along these lines, to be more fearless in our faith, and to appropriate that what God has done for us. You know, I can think of indications and illustrations in the Bible of times when it was the Lord's will to come across and there were hindrances. You remember when the Lord came to that woman who was bowed with that infirmity, and she was a hunchback woman. And the Lord came and he saw that woman and he said something very interesting, and I think that it's certainly a good illustration for us to consider in our fights of faith. He says, should not this daughter of Abraham that has been bound these 18 years be delivered? And he said, whom Satan has bound.
Yes, yes.
And then he stretched forth his hand and the power of God healed. We see another indication in the Word of God when the disciples were out ministering on their own. The Lord Jesus had given them power and had sent them out. And they went out and God gave them very wonderful and mighty victories. But they came up against a situation where they didn't get the victory. They came up against a situation where a man brought to them his son. And his son was demon-possessed, and he was like that for many years. And they brought this son to, he brought this son to these disciples, and the disciples prayed, and nothing happened. And I'm glad that that man didn't give up at the disciples, but he looked for Jesus and sought him out, and when Jesus came, he tried again, and he brought that son to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ rebuked his disciples, and he said to them, they asked him, they said, well, why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. And then he said something interesting too. He said, howbeit this type comes not out, but by prayer and fasting. Now, I think of another illustration that I believe sometimes we find ourselves into also. It's the illustration of the story of the seven sons of Sceva, you know, who were trying to cast out devils. They heard that the Apostle Paul had been casting out devils. So they thought, well, they would try it. And so they found this man who was in great need, and they all this make it. What am I driving at? Well, this is the sense, and I hope it will make sense after I explain what I'm driving at. What I'm driving at is this. God has sure foundations for us. God's promises are sure. God has a will that we can stand on. But there's a fight of faith, and there's an experience that we must enter into, a place in God where we're in the place in the faith of God where we can say it's done and pray through for victories. I believe a lot of times, in these days especially, we're coming against things that the enemy is throwing at the Church of Jesus Christ, and somehow our hands are bound before them, and we bow before them, and we don't get the victories that God has purchased for us. And I don't believe that we ought to be sitting Christians and seeing defeats before our hands and not rising up in the name of the Lord and say, God, you give us the victory.
Yes. Amen.
And I'm thankful for everyone who's standing upon the Word of God and is standing in the face of opposition and is willing to fight the good fight of faith, and we should stand with them.
Yes.
We should fight with them and believe that God is going to give them victory.
Yes.
But you know, it's so important for the Church of Jesus Christ to understand that we are in a spiritual warfare. We're not just on our way to heaven without opposition, but the book of Ephesians tells us so very clearly that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And Jesus told his disciples when he left them, he said, now freely you have received, freely give. He said, go heal the sick, cleanse the leper. Go do the things that I have done. Proclaim this glorious gospel wherever you go, and let there be signs following. And folks, the Lord Jesus Christ needs in these days signs to be following.
Amen.
Our words. People need the power of God. Yeah. There needs to be healing waters flowing in our assemblies and in our midst. And we ought to believe God for it. And we ought to believe God in the face of seeming defeat, because
Amen.
God is the same. And he is marching on to victory, and he wants everyone to march along with us. And Jesus said something very definite to his disciples about prayer and getting victory. And I often think of it, and I'm awful blessed by that thought. He said, you know, disciples, and he didn't say it that way, but he said, disciples, I and my Father am glorified while we answer your prayers, when your prayers are answered. It's not just something that's temporal or just something for our own perhaps comfort or satisfaction when we receive a victory from God, but it's something that glorifies the kingdom of God, and we don't understand it fully, but every time God is able to stretch forth his hand and bring a victory, there's a victory for the kingdom of God, and the enemy is defeated.
Amen.
And it's through the victories that the Lord Jesus Christ manifests in his saints that the enemy is going to be dethroned. He's a liar, and he lied from the beginning. But all power is given unto Jesus, and he has the power to win this great victory, and he wants to give it to every one of us, that his name might be glorified. And I believe as we go on into this week increasingly, we ought to believe God for victories. We ought to believe him for deliverances, and that the great name of our God is going to be glorified.
Just along this line, one little thought that comes to me.
Come over here, Brother Bowers, and turn around so that everybody can see you and hear you, and you can see everybody.
My face, you mean about that in my head. Just a little word that comes to me in connection with the things that we have just heard and heard a few minutes ago. I passed a mark just this month, and someone called me, and they said, "Now, let me see, this is 76, isn't it, for you?" And I said, "Yes." And then they wished me the spirit of 76 all through this year. And then it reminded me of something that I already knew, of course, that the spirit of 76 was a fighting spirit. And so I began to wonder, now, am I to be looking forward to something new along this line? I've had that kind of a spirit all along for a number of years now. I've had to exercise that kind of a spirit, kind of a fighting spirit, and they mentioned also that it was a fight of faith. And so I wondered now just what's going to happen. Am I to expect some major battle that I have not yet faced up with? Well, they come along as the years go by. I find out that the battle doesn't lessen, but it seems to take on a larger sphere of some kind. It comes from different directions, maybe. Not just one frontal attack, but maybe a three-prong attack or something like that. And so I wonder, well, now, am I headed for something that I don't know anything about yet? Well, I didn't let that bother me, because I knew that with each test or each battle or each struggle that comes our way, I knew that Jesus was fully able to take care of. That he paid a full price. It wasn't a half job that he did.
Hallelujah.
It was a complete job that he did there. He took my sins and my sorrows. He bore them there. My sicknesses too. That's what he said. And we have a brother that loves to dwell on the dark side of things, the negative. No matter what you say, no matter how you say it, you can read it from the Bibles, but you don't get through too many meetings before you get the negative side from it. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. And so I got up one time and I said, we don't need to say yeah, but. We need to say what Jesus said.
Amen.
We need to say what God says, not yeah, but.
Yeah,
yeah, but. Looking at something, that always bringing up examples of somebody that didn't get the victory that they thought they were supposed to get, you know. And I was very appreciative of what we've heard tonight, because it isn't a defeat. The thing that looks like a defeat isn't necessarily a defeat.
That's right.
The end is not yet. Glory to God. And God works for a purpose, always. There is a purpose in what the Lord allows. I've always said it, that there's not one thing that can come against me unless it first passes God's approval. Now, there may be question marks about that, but it's the truth, I believe, that it cannot touch me unless it passes God's approval. And that doesn't set me up as any special example either, or it doesn't set me up above anybody else. I think it's that way with everyone who really has committed themselves unto the Lord. And I think we all face a fight of faith. we all need the spirit of 76. You get it before you get to be 76. It'll help you when you get there. Glory to God. I tell you, we have a wonderful Savior. We have a mighty God. Hallelujah. And I don't think I can think of one place where he has lost a battle. Maybe we haven't come to the end of the battle yet, you see, and so we cannot judge that. But so far as I can see, he hasn't lost a battle. He was always the winner. And the only time there was a seeming defeat was because of something on the part of the person, not on God. And when that was taken care of, when that was straightened out, then the next time they went up against the enemy, everything was cleared out. They didn't have to figure out their own way. God directed them. God told them how to fight the battle. He said, in another case, he said, you don't have to fight. This battle is with the Lord. The Lord will fight for you. You stand still and see the salvation of God. And how often that happens. We get in the way sometimes in our great desire, in our great, I've got to get this thing through now. Brother Edwards mentioned the other night or the other day something that impressed me. I suppose I've heard it before, but he told of when he was first, when the first child came along. I assume that was little Edith.
Yes.
This last year, now it was some time ago this last year, she was teaching in the university here in Missouri, so you see that was a long time ago. But it was when she was just a baby and she became ill, sick, a high fever. And of course, the father, and I suppose the mother too, was rather anxious about this sort of thing. And so he was at the faith home at the time. They lived there. And so he went down into the prayer room. And he walked back and forth. God be merciful. God be merciful. God be merciful. And all of a sudden the Lord stopped him. Said, I am merciful. So he started praising instead. And the Lord gave the victory.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Stretch out your hand to heal.
Yes.
Let signs and wonders be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. Oh God, we pray that the victories of Calvary shall be manifest in these coming days. We pray, oh God, that the stripes that you bore will be effective in the bodies of God that are bruised here. Oh God, this weekend we pray that the Calvary stream will flow and let the victories that you have died for and been beaten for be manifest in our midst. We pray, oh God, that those that need deliverance, perhaps in their mind or their spirit, shall be set free. Oh God, we thank you that you bore our sorrows and carried our pains. Oh God, we're looking for real victories for souls, oh God, that the entrance of thy word will give light, oh God. You sent your word and healed them and delivered them from all their distresses. And we pray, oh God, that there shall be a very great manifestation of the kingdom of God here at camp this weekend, and that you will accompany thy word with signs following and victories given, that the name of Jesus might be glorified.
Yes,
thank you.
Blessed.